This episode of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live is brought to you in part by Viewfinders Identity Search and Design. Your choice for web design, graphic design, and all multimedia development needs. Visit VFISAD.com and let us bring your vision to reality.
Hey, this is Mega Rand, teacher, rapper, hero, waffle lover. And you're checking out ACMG Presents Talk Time Live. Turn it up and share.
This week, Najee Jeter gets a BAFTA Game Award. Megaton Musashi finally comes to the U.S. I get excited about Stellar Blade. We also count down to Star Wars Outlaws, which begins now. Mario is coming to Fan Expo Philly, and I will tell you why PuzzMix is one of the most addictive and insanely low-priced puzzle games you will enjoy right now. And in our final stage, I return to Mortal Kombat on the Switch and actually tell you why you may want to come back and check it out. We check out all the improvements and see if it gets a better grade than before. All this on this edition of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live Extra. Select start.
Welcome to the show to give you all the news, views, and opinions in the world of gaming. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live Extra's Select Start with your host, Xavier Josiah. Power up and game on.
Welcome back to another game-filled edition of Select Start, the video game podcast for ACMG Presents Talk Time Live and TalkTimeLive.com. I am your host, Xavier Josiah. Man, I am back. I am rejuvenated. If you heard me on All Elite Geekly, man, I sound much better than I did on Sunday night's main event where I was completely hoarse. Reason being, if all of you know, to the new listeners, welcome. But if all of you know, I was making myself seen on WrestleMania weekend in various areas, one of which was Wale Mania, which was like my WrestleMania itself. I never went to WrestleMania because tickets are expensive as hell. They're like three grand for God's sake. But I enjoyed other aspects of it. I went to go check out Wale Mania, which is the reason why I was hoarse in the first place. Like, come on, when you got, you know, Benny Siegel and Freeway, you know, coming and performing, and I get to see them live, and I'm directly in the front of that, like, I'm losing my voice. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a Philly guy. I love Freeway. I love Benny Siegel. I love these dudes. They're legends. It was awesome. And then amongst all that, we got to see a bunch of other wrestlers from AEW, WWE, and the indie scenes all together embracing the love of wrestling in itself. Also, after that, ended up going to Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor, which, by the way, I posted... Speaking of Wale Mania, I posted two videos for Wale Mania, and it was about a week ago since I've been there. It is still viewed to this day, and is like the most viewed video that I've put together. The one with Trick Williams and Carmelo facing off, which was still talked, like that match already happened. People are still viewing it and still commenting on it. It's in like 40,000. Over 40,000 views. I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. That's in 47,000 views right now, with over a thousand likes. Thank you to everybody who dug the video and how I filmed it and put together. Also, the highlights from Wale Mania Philly is really getting over too. People enjoyed that one. That's a little bit over 6,000 views, which is nothing to sneeze about either. You know, shout out to everybody who enjoyed that video as well. You can all check it out on my YouTube page at Viewfinders ISAD. Check it out there. And man, it's been a whirlwind of a time from there. But not only that, you know, going to Supercard of Honor and, you know, covering my first wrestling photojournalist gig, I guess you could call it, that I did for a Sunday night's main event was pretty awesome as well. Shout out to them. They were pretty awesome to give me that opportunity to do it, and some of my favorite pictures. I finally got to take some really awesome pictures of a pay-per-view event based on Ring of Honor, one of my beloved wrestling promotions, you know, from 2002, mind you. And that was awesome. And then also being a part of the media, the media call where I got to talk with Tony Khan and ask him about certain things, you know, about the event, which was pretty cool. So, I mean, just a whirlwind of a weekend, but I am back. I am here and I'm here to talk about games. Now, the irony of this is that I really don't have a new game to review because for some strange reason, a lot of the games that I want to play and review are all coming out at the same time. A lot of them are coming out on the 24th, 5th, 6th, and 7th. I believe it's like Stellar Blade comes out, Sandland comes out, and one game we're going to talk about in this episode that's finally making it to the US is coming out. So none of that, but I've already reviewed that one a year ago because I played the import version of it. And I had a hunch that it was going to make it to America in some form or fashion. I just knew it was, and here it is. I'm usually good at predicting these things. So, you know, I'm glad I was right about this because I have been wanting to read the dialogue and story. And luckily it was easy to play, but we'll talk about that in about a few. But all those games are coming out. But what I have been doing, you know, because the last game I've actually played or reviewed, if I'm correct, it's been quite some time, folks. The last game I actually played and reviewed was, Hi-Fi Rush. Which was on the 29th, and I haven't played anything since I beat that game. Freaking awesome game. I still don't understand why this wasn't it was rated high by those who played it, but not many people played it, and I hope that changes because now it's on a PS5. But you know, games like, you know, all the games like Stellar Blade and all the stuff that's coming out later on, so there's nothing to play. So decided to go back, check out. Every time this game comes out with a patch update, I want to go check it out. So I ended up going back to play Mortal Kombat 1 on a Switch. And unbeknownst to me, I'm finding myself playing this game for hours. And in fact, you know, I'm going back and playing it so much that I didn't realize how much I was enjoying the game on air. And I've been playing it for quite some time. In fact, I have now put in 130 hours of Mortal Kombat 1 on the Switch. That's telling. That is much more telling than it was when I first played it at launch, which I've said, I've gone on to say it was a very disappointing launch on the Switch. Very, very disappointing. So what we're going to do today at my discovery of me playing this more and more, especially the invasion mode of this, I'm going to look back at this game and give you my thoughts on the current state of the Switch version of Mortal Kombat 1 and see if I will provide it a better score than I did before, because I believe I gave this in the realm of the C or C minus, and it just kept going down because it just wasn't fixed. So I think now is the appropriate time to start giving a little bit more look at this game and see if it's worth you guys coming back, because I know a few of you own the Switch version. I own the PS5 version and the Switch version, but I actually deleted the PS5 version of my disgust for what they did here, because I wanted to play the PS5 version. I knew the PS5 version was going to be dope. I gave that an A-. But the launch of the Switch version was just so disappointing. I couldn't give it more than that. But they have since added DLC. They have added, you know, invasion modes and all the stuff, and the stability and all the stuff. Is there's something significantly different here. So we're on our final stage. We're going to just go back, give this a second, see if this is deserving of a grade change, if you will. So we'll do that in our final stage. But right now we have got to talk some really cool news going on in the world of our favorite gaming industry here. And one of which is we're going to give a congratulations to one Najee Jeter, AKA the voice of Miles Morales, who wins a BAFTA Game Award for performing in a leading role as Miles Morales in Marvel Spider-Man 2. This is absolutely awesome. I think he very well deserved. I think Yuri Lowenthal actually deserves something for his role as Peter Parker. Like he killed that role. But shout out to Najee Jeter too. First of all, is Najee Jeter UK? Is he British? I wasn't aware. Because BAFTA is the British version of the SAG-AFTRA organization or guild. you know, this is BAFTA Awards is like the SAG Awards, pretty much. And I didn't even know they had a game award ceremony. Like, SAG, come on, what are y'all doing? Give some grace to the game, the gaming community and the actors out there and the productions and all out there that put in. I didn't know BAFTA had a game awards ceremony. That's awesome. That's really awesome that they're paying tribute. I mean, yes, we have the game awards here, but I think honestly, if you really want to bring prestige to the gaming community, no disrespect to Jeff Keighley because he's done a tremendous job, but SAG-AFTRA is a much bigger entity than Jeff Keighley. And giving a game awards from SAG-AFTRA, the actual Screen Actors Guild, recognizing accomplishments and performances on a video game, that will set a precedent to the industry in America like nobody's business. It will make the game awards, in my opinion, it will make the game awards the Golden Globes, and SAG-AFTRA will be like the Oscars, because it's like it's being awarded by the, you know, by the peers, mind you. And that would be interesting. I would love for them to do that. I know they don't already have that. They don't have that. We would have known by now. But the fact that there's a BAFTA award, I thought that was pretty cool. And congratulations to Najee Jeter, who, I swore, like when I listened to the panel at San Diego Comic-Con and watched it, I don't remember seeing him having an accent. Did he? I don't know. I don't know how they graded it. I don't know if it's... If he's winning that award, then that means that he's a part of the BAFTA Guild. I don't know if he's performed in there, whatever. Like, I don't know. But usually, if you're a part of BAFTA, which is like it's the UK's version, that he would probably be from that area, within that region. So either way, congratulations to him. He's awesome, well deserved. I think there should be more awards given out for that game because I love that game. I replayed it again recently when they added the new game plus, and I enjoyed so much, especially, mind you, thank you Insomniac Games for allowing us to pick what the final costume that Miles Morales wears. Because if you guys remember, if you played the game originally, they give you that new costume where his hair is out, and which is, it's partly cool, but what really messes it up is the fact that he's wearing these brand new product placed Adidas sneaks. The sneaks are not bad, but the idea, the logic of him wearing these sneaks while fighting crime and fighting against evil, it's ridiculous. And because it's a white sneak. If it was a black sneak, that'd be one thing, but it's a white sneak. And so you mean to tell me this kid, this teenager, is wearing these sneaks out into battle against the Sandman, who is literally sand, and dirties up your whole entire sneaks. And you're a sneakerhead, and you're gonna let your sneaks get dirty, and you can afford to keep buying new Adidas? Who's supplying these Adidas for him? No, it doesn't. The logic of that suit makes no sense at all. People were crapping on that suit. One, because it was a product placement for Adidas. That's one thing. Two, it makes no sense. Three, people thought it was a little bit of racy, you know, playing on a supposed stereotype of what black people like. So there's a lot of that was happening there, and people just did not like the suit. Like I like the suit from the top to right down, except for the sneaks. I just wish they would have gave him just regular, like just had the suit like the rest of the suit, just have the whole like one body suit or whatever like that. Like, he doesn't have to have the sneaks. And I'm not a big fan of the other costumes that he has where he's just looking like he's wearing normal clothes, where Spider-Man, in other words, he looks totally cool in his suits. I always normally stick to the suits that looks like actual superhero suits for him in the game. But that's the great part about the game. You could choose whatever you like, and you can play the game whatever you like in any way that you like. I'm just glad that like the new game plus mode now allows you to pick which suit he wears at the end instead of that crappy ass suit right there. Like, I even take the one where he got the helmet that has the LED version of himself and all that stuff. I thought that was pretty dope too, and he wears a jacket and all. I didn't mind that. That could have been a great good final suit too, but yeah, no. Not that other one. But again, congratulations to him, and another reason why that game is so freaking awesome. So, you know what another game that is awesome right now that I'm so happy to talk about? Again, and I say again because I've reviewed this game, I believe over a year ago. It was a imported game at the time. And this game is absolutely, if you're a fan of anime mech games, you know, mechanical robots, giant robots and all that stuff. You know, I'm thinking like Mazinger Z or Transor Z for those who grew up watching it like I did. Robotech, you know, Gigantor, Giant Robo, stuff like that. You're going to love this game. It's finally coming to the US. It is Megaton Musashi. It is absolutely, absolutely fantastic. It is not only a great game that came out of Japan, even though the sales for that game did not go as good, and which is why I'm really surprised that it's hitting the US because of its low sales in Japan. But it also came out with its own anime as well, which kind of, you know, tells the story as well. I love this game. It was so easy to play. Even though I didn't understand the dialogue that was going on, you could kind of pick up what's going on in the game based on what they were doing. And then on top of that, you know, the play mechanics, the control scheme was pretty much universal. You can pretty much pick up how you could do it. And this is a very deep action RPG game. You can customize your what they call rogues is their version of what they call the giant robots, and you can customize it to make it more powerful. You can, like, it's very, like, it's, you talk about create customization, you know, features, this thing is more, way more customizable than what AEW Fight Forever has ever done. You could not only just, you know, change up on the gear, you can also change the color of it. You can you do so much. You could do so much with these rogue mech robots in this game. But also, it has a really awesome story to it. Now, the only reason why I know I am familiar with the story is because I watched the anime as well. And the anime that I watched was subtitled in English. So that was great. But this one is finally coming to the US. And guess what? It's coming out in about a week or two. So it is literally coming out in March. I already pre-ordered it on the Switch. It's also coming out for the PlayStation and Xbox and other consoles as well. So you'll get a chance to check it out. It is absolutely fantastic. You know, I basically reviewed, what was the other mech game that I reviewed not too long ago? That kind of reminded me of this game, mind you. Give me a sec. I'm on TalkTimeLive.com. I got to look back. I got to find this thing. No, I played this. It was like the first game I played in a year of the year. So I gotta go back and find. I forgot the name of it so long ago. It feels like it was so long ago. And yes, here we go. UFO Robot Grandizer. It kind of plays like that, but it plays actually much better. It plays much better in the sense of the action is faster. The aesthetic looks better because it's kind of like an old school, you know, it's like an updated version of old school mech anime, but it is not playing into the idea of it being a old school mech anime like the presentation was for Grandizer. Here, it's more modern. It's more up to date. It's fantastic. The color palette, the saturations of colors and color schemes and everything is just so fantastic in this game. The chrome shine look of the rogues looks fantastic, and it looks great. It absolutely looks great. So not only that, but you also believe you fight with AI, you know, team members or NPCs or whatever. You can switch back and forth to them as well, if I'm correct. So there's a lot of fun to be had in this game, but you're gonna get so much in here too. Again, this is a mech action RPG game. There is gonna be English dialogue to it. There is going to be limited editions. There's two versions. There's an ultimate edition. There's a regular edition. But if you get the ultimate edition, like I got, and I believe it's like $70, which is great because there is an inflation cost for video games nowadays, especially on PlayStation 5. Games are now $70 as by default for most games, which unfortunately is insane, but it is the time. So, I mean, it is what it is. So for this version, the fact that you're getting all this extra, which means the price for this game is probably roughly about like $50, and you're getting all like $20 worth of DLC content here. And you get an English version with this. You get limited edition rogues, Karanda and Sir Wild. You'll see what they look like. Also, I should say Messenger Z and a few other familiar mech anime, you know, mechs that you've seen from old school, you know, animated shows are going to be in here as well. So that's going to be awesome. You're going to love that. Limited edition weapons, Tempest and Shell holders, limited edition pilot attire for Tiru, Ryugu, and Reggie, which are the three main characters of, and pilots, or paladins, if you will, of the mech rogues, if you will. So limited edition victory poses, additional premium pass rewards, digital art book containing unpublished reference material viewable in the game. So you're getting a lot in here, and it's really awesome. Trust me, I've already played this game. I love this game. I'm so glad that it's coming to the US, because I know a few, I got a few people that I know that are into, their choice of anime is mech-based anime. So for games, they're going to love this freaking game. It's incredible. And there's a lot of story to be told, because they came out in Japan, they came out with the original story a while back, and then they came out with another version that was free. And then it also included both versions, the original story and the other story, you know, a la, you know, Xenoverse, Dragon Ball Xenoverse, who also did the same thing. So you're going to get a lot of deep storytelling in here and character development in this game for those who like that as well. So get ready, because it is coming out, I believe, on the 27th. It is coming out. So I cannot wait. I actually pondering whether should I review this again, review the US version, and see how this one does, because now in English I can really explain a little bit more in depth detail than I have before. Because I went to my old school ways when it comes to playing imports. I went out and looked at FAQs and translations and all the stuff like I used to back in the day, just to be able to play the game and understand the game, you know, like before, and it did not disappoint. So I'm looking forward to it. I may actually review this again down the line, and you know, there's going to be a reason why you need to jump on this, so get ready. Another game that we've all been waiting for, especially Star Wars fans, that is on its way to come out in August. That is Star Wars Outlaws. We finally get a trailer, and we also now can pre-order the game officially. The trailer looked really awesome, looks stunning, and they addressed that it was in-game engine that we were looking at. So we got to see exactly what this game is going to look like, how it's going to play. Love it. And it's coming out later this, like, third quarter of this year is going to be coming out. So there's also a very interesting price point that they announced, which, you know what, I look at this, I'm not mad at this, because what they're providing ahead of time. And there's three additions to this. The standard edition, which is $69.99, which I just explained, is now the standard price for PlayStation 5 games and maybe even Xbox Series X and S games now, and Steam games. Gold edition is now $109.99. Now, with that, you get the full game. You get a season pass, which means the season pass consists of, I believe, two story expansions that is going to come with that. So that's pretty cool. And you get to play the game 3 days early upon the pre-order of that. Ultimate Edition, again, full game, season pass, Sabacc Shark Bundle. I don't know what that is. Of course, we got to play the game to find out. Rogue and Infiltrator Bundle, digital art book. And of course, you get 3 day early access to it as well. That is coming out on August 27th of 2024. Hopefully, it will remain that that date. But so far, it looks absolutely phenomenal. I'm still wondering if I'm going to get that. Now, $129 is very high, but not so much, because it seems very high, but we end up buying that. We end up spending that much eventually. They're just going ahead of time and say, like, look, this is what we're going to provide. This is where we're going to price it now. If you get this now, you're going to have all that at when it launches, and you don't have to worry about paying for it later. So I don't mind them doing this. for that. It's only when they start doing the live service crap and the microtransaction crap is when that pisses me off. But this is guaranteeing you're getting two story expansions experiences from this, plus a little bit more. So that's what you're paying for. You're not paying for anything else in that. I don't believe there is any microtransactions in this game or any live service aspects of this game. This seems to be a one player experience, a single player experience. And I don't mind this. This type of pay structure, I don't mind at all. So, and it looks awesome. I'm hoping that it doesn't disappoint. I really don't. Because I really enjoyed Jedi Survivor. That, to me, is the best Star Wars game since The Force Unleashed. I'm hoping this one looks like it's not going to be very Force Unleashed. It's like, this feels like kind of like Tomb Raider-ish, you know, meets Star Wars in a lot of ways. So looking forward to that. It looks like you play more than just one character too. So the story just looks awesome. I'm not that big of a Star Wars fan that I'm going to jump onto every Star Wars game, but we'll see how this goes as time goes by for that. So we'll see. All right. If you're in Philadelphia, like I am, you know, Fan Expo is coming. Shout out to the guys at Fan Expo. Really, especially Jerry, you know, really appreciate those guys. I've been covering their events for the last, 2 years now. So I believe I should be going to this one as well. And they're offering a lot. If you're a Star Wars fan, they got a lot of Star Wars celebrities that are going to be attending. The stars from many different Star Wars TV shows, including Asuka is coming. So you got Jesus Christ, from certain people from The Mandalorian is going to be there. It's going to be wild. It's going to be very, very wild. Go to Fan Expo Philly website and check out who's going to be there. Also, a lot of anime, you know, stars are going to be there. Some returning from last year is going to be there. But one name in video game legend is coming to Philadelphia. And I think of all the names, is all the great names. Like Rosario Dawson's coming to Philadelphia. Like, I'm already excited for that. But this name right here, this really made me smile. The one and only Charles Martinet is coming to Philadelphia Fan Expo, the legendary voice of Mario himself, the now ambassador to Nintendo, is coming to Philadelphia. I am very excited about this. I hope he gets a panel or whatnot. And hopefully we get to see what's going on with him. I would love to hear him and, you know, get some pics and video footage of him as well. So I am very much looking forward to it. I'm glad that they're doing this in May because, after WrestleMania, I was drained. I don't think I was probably three times drained doing covering, going all over that, you know, deal than I would be a Fan Expo. At least I get to sit down at Fan Expo and all this stuff. Here, not so, you know, here, I mean, there, not so much, but this one should be a good one. This should be a really good one. Fan Expo is really, this is their third, this is their junior year as Fan Expo. Guys call, like, Fan Expo was Wizard World. Wizard World was once, you know, one of the biggest conventions out here, and then they kind of fell off for a bit. You know, Repop came with Keystone Comic Con, and then the pandemic came and kind of wiped them out for a bit. I don't know if they're ever going to come back, but it gave Fan Expo, Wizard World, now Fan Expo, a chance to come in, rebrand themselves, and really do good. I mean, the last year was really, really good. The first year was a great impression. This year, I am excited to see what they really leveled up again. And this is the junior year, so they are putting in the work out there. And I'm really happy to see it. So hopefully I will be there to check it out. And we'll find out for sure soon enough. But I'm looking forward to seeing Charles Martinet. Absolutely looking forward to it. So let's see what happens from there. All right. You know, I'm going to talk about this first. I got in my notes differently, but I want to give my thoughts on Stellar Blade, which is another game that's coming out around the same time as like Sandland and Megaton Musashi's coming out. Like, all this is coming out at once. It's messing up my schedule here. But I got a chance to play the demo to Stellar Blade. Boy, I'm telling you, this is going to be one of the games of the year. I don't know if it's going to be the game of the year, but you know, when we first saw this game, we were blown away at just the visual aesthetics of this game, the optics of this game, the design of this game. And after playing it, it lives up. This is a very deep looking game. This is a very deep played game. This is a action RPG that I think everybody's going to want to check out. I am ready for this game. It plays a lot like, if you played any games from the development company known as Platinum, which creates Bayonetta and DMC, Devil May Cry, mind you, and other really cool action games or action RPG games. It plays definitely in that with some RPG elements to it. Man, the look of this game is just fantastic. Things that you could do in this game is fantastic. If you haven't played, if you own a PS5, and I don't believe this is, I think this is exclusive to PlayStation only. That's the thing. If you have a PS5 and you have, let me see. Yeah, this is this is a PlayStation 5 exclusive. Man, this is awesome. And it's coming out to 26. I believe probably early in the night, I think, if you get the pre-order, which I'm about to do myself. But man, the demo was just very impressive. The monster design, if you will, is awesome. Her clothing, her designs is, and this is a very gritty, brutal game, mind you. In terms of story, not in terms of difficulty level. Because if I felt like the demo, which I'm glad that they brought out a demo, because I was like, please don't let this be like a Souls game. I do not want to play any Souls game at all. I don't have the tolerance or the time to play a game that I have to grind like crazy on. That's just not for me. I'm sorry. No dig on anybody who does. I just don't have the time to really get into those games, man. And you don't want to be around me if I play those games, because there will be violence. But nonetheless, yeah, this game is going to be a very fun game to play. The difficulty levels are, you know, they make it for those who want to enjoy the story and for those who want challenge. I love choice. I'm always a fan of choice. Always in gaming, especially. So, you know, get ready, because this is going to be a lot to this game. It's going to be awesome. Fantastic. And it's coming out on the 26th. So 26th or the 27th, one of those dates. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm definitely getting this without a doubt. So, all right. Last bit of news is actually, this is actually a review. The reason why I don't put it on the final stage is because it's not that big of a review in a sense of like really giving you detail on what's happening here, but this is worth mentioning. And for the price that they're asking for it, it is absolutely worth it. And this is PuzzMix, which is a spinoff to the Azure Gun Vault series. If anybody's ever played that, and I've reviewed that many times. In fact, my good friend of mine, Matt Papa, who was formerly of Inti Creates, he had a hand in not this game, but he had a hand in that series. So basically what this game is a puzzle game based around the Inti Creates series. So it's a fresh music puzzle game featuring the Muse, which is, you know, Gun Vault uses in the game, which is known as Lola. This contains 19 songs, original songs of background music. And basically it's, you know, if you like Tetris or Dr. Mario and all those other really cool puzzle-like games, add this one to your collection. Because this right here is sure to get you addicted. And the reason why I even picked it up is because I loved the Azure Gun Vault series and the Luminous X series that also have been a part of this. So I added this on and I started playing this game. And the crazy part about this game is that there is no directions. There is no tutorial on how to play this game. None. This is the crazy part. Instead, you just play the game. So I was like, all right, there's no directions to play it. So I started playing it. And I lied to you not. As I start playing it, I start figuring it out on my own. Just It is so easy to understand and easy to pick up. It is crazy. So you'll have a bunch of different... The idea is that, like, you're Lola, who's like this artificial intelligent holographic type of deal. And you have a bunch of Muse devices that come down in different... They look, you know, different. There's different versions, different colors, different shapes, different sizes. And you're supposed to match them up together. And if you keep matching them up together, they eventually get bigger and bigger and bigger. And the idea is to, you know, try to downsize it as much as possible, not to reach the lineup at the top. And once you, if any part of your Muses even touch that line at the top and doesn't fix it within 5 seconds, you lose the game. But, and there is no end to this game. It's just you trying to reach the highest score, a la Tetris. This is like old school arcade, cool Tetris style gameplay. And I'm playing this game, and I find myself getting more immersed into this game and more addicted to playing this game. And it is just utterly amazing how much fun this game is playing. And let me see. I first played this about 4 days ago. I probably put in, I don't have the information on how many hours I put into this game, but I will play it. This is a great pick up and play game. If I stop playing, you know, one game, take a break for a bit, and if I just want to watch TV, but I want to play something on the side, this is a great pick up and play game, because you will get, here's the thing, I said I was going to stop playing Puzzmix a long time ago, and Fom was like, all right, let me do one more and see how far I get. And I just keep doing that. And there are times I have made a higher score, and then there are times I'm trying to reach and supersede that score. And I just realized, this is brilliant. This game is freaking brilliant how they put this together. And they did so without even showing any tutorials or any direction or anything for it. Brilliant. And on top of that, the game price is only $3.99. And I will stress it up. It's on sale. They took 10% off. It is now $3.59. And of course, because it's on Nintendo and I have credit, I got a little bit off of it, so I didn't even pay that much for it. So because of the credit that I have from other games that I played, so I highly recommend you find this game on its Puzzmix. It's P-U-Z-Z, capital M-I-X. It is. And on top of that, if you like this game and you're a big Mega Man fan and stuff like that, go find Azure Striker Gun Vault. If you're a continued listener of this show for like years on end, then you know that I've interviewed Matt Papa about the games that he was a part of in Japan. He's a Philly guy, but he moved to Japan, ended up working for NT Creates, which is also the company that includes the legendary Keiji Inafune, the graphic designer who you put together Mega Man and drew the Mega Man deals and became one of the executive producers of Mega Man series up until this point. So he's got a chance to work with him, but he also got the chance to really be a part of the game series. And he's also the reason why we got... He actually has a voice role in the last game that they made, too. Go back, our interviews... You can check out my interviews with Matt Papa as well, which is on TalkTimeLive.com. So... It is a great game series, but this game is fantastic. It is absolutely fantastic. I would highly recommend you go check it out. And, you know, you can't go wrong. For $3.59, it is absolutely fantastic. Go out of your way, check it out, and you go enjoy it. If you're a Tetris fan like that, and you, trust me, this game proves to me you don't need major graphics. You don't need high resolution or frame rate or none of that crap to make it for a game to be fun. This $3.59 game, this game for only $3.59 has gained more replay value for me than some AAA games that I've played in the past. This game is awesome. Like, I'm sorry. This game gets an A+ on all grounds. It just does. I don't even have to go on my grading system. This is an A+ game. Doing very little and getting a lot out of it. Okay, this game is genius. Go get Puzzmix right now. If you're on the Switch, great pick up and play on a road game to play. It's just fantastic. Go check it out. Folks, that will do it for this portion of the show. We're going to take a break, come back, and we're going to go revisit Mortal Kombat 1 for the Nintendo Switch and see if it is worthy of a grade change. And we'll do that right after this.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dak Xavier Josiah, the host of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live, the podcast. You want to catch up with all of our podcast shows and hear from some of the hottest names in all of anime, comics, movies, and games, such as...
This is Miley Flanagan, the voice of Naruto.
This is Stephanie Shea, the voice of Sailor Moon.
This is Ruben Langdon, voice of Ken Masters and Dante from Devil May Cry.
Hey there, this is Kyle Hebert, the voice of Ryu from Street Fighter V.
This is Chris Battle, character designer of Teen Titans Go.
Here's your chance to check out all of that and more on TalkTimeLive.com. TalkTimeLive.com provides all of our ACMG content with new and previous episodes, exclusive interviews, articles, and much more. Visit TalkTimeLive.com and let us help you learn to let go, live life, and love all things ACMG.
Talk Time Live!
You have reached the final stage of this program, and I am here to give another look at Mortal Kombat 1 on the Nintendo Switch. The reason being is, like I said, is it's been some time now since we've last played this game, which was in 2023, and it was met with really bad reviews for the Switch, but really good reviews for the Xbox and the PlayStation 5. The Switch version was obviously rushed, and they, you know, left us with some really crappy graphics, some glitches, bugs, crashes, if you will. Just it was such a disappointing thing. After a few patch updates and additions and DLCs, how does this game play? How does this game work now? Does it look better? Does it play better? We're gonna look at that. We're gonna talk about that. And we may actually be changing the grade at this point. Because this game that I play right now, like I said at the beginning of the show, I was playing this game and didn't realize that I was so immersed into playing the game, you know, playing the invasion mode and all the stuff, that I didn't realize like how much fun I was having playing this game, as if it was like this at the beginning, and it wasn't. There's obviously a lot of changes in graphics and resolution and frame rate and It just design in this game. Is it all completely there? No. They still got some ways to go with certain things, but you can obviously see the improvements of the game. And it is, it's in terms of performance and stability, much, much better than it was before. And that's saying a lot. I said much twice. That's really saying something right here. So we're gonna look back at this game and talk about certain things that we did before and see if it is leveled up. I believe for the Switch version, I gave this like a low C, maybe even a D, because I remember as weeks went by, I started having resentment and disdain for this game even more, and I started just lowering the grade down to a D until they fixed it. I can honestly say they have fixed a lot in this game, and the grade can go up a little bit more now. And this is for people who have rather bought the Switch version and hasn't played it in a while. To those who didn't want to play it on a Switch because they heard of all the crap that was going on, they saw some of the things. Every patch update that they have come out with have been really big patch updates, and those patches have definitely improved on a lot of things. Like, for instance, Marlena's hair was an issue that is no longer. General Khan's axe was an issue that is no longer. Their clothing was an issue because it didn't have the shine, it didn't have the chrome, it didn't have the texture that we would expect from the Switch or any game for that matter. If you look at how great Mortal Kombat 11 looks and plays, we expected that same thing from 1, and we didn't get that. Now it's here. you could see there's so much attention to detail now that's been brought into the Mortal Kombat game. If you go and even look into the customized options and see the character models, greatly changed. I will give it a great example. Jean-Claude Van Damme version of Johnny Cage, which at the time looked like crap. And in fact, it was even funnier because his hair was gray. He kind of looked, I did a comparison of the Nintendo, the PlayStation version to the Nintendo version. And he looked like Dick Van Dyke on a Nintendo Switch at the time. He actually looks way more like Jean-Claude Van Damme now than he ever did. And it looks awesome right now. I think it really kind of picked up when they got Omni-Man in the game, because they really had to get him right. They could not have gotten it. They could not have messed that up. Robert Kirkman would have had a fit if that was the case. And luckily that was not the case. But you look at the models now, there's shadow, there's lighting. That has been a big improvement on the game, looking beautifully done. I remember they fixed a patch where like there was patches on the ground that was left there after certain elements would hit the ground. That is no longer an issue. There's a lot of improvement in this game at all. Even the fact that there's so many different palettes to the actual characters and skin changes. So whenever you play in games like, Invasion or whatnot, because there's always a various amount of characters that you play, the gear that you have. Every gear that you have really plays in, and it's very stable into the gameplay of Invasion. Because in Invasion, you deal with a lot of different random characters that you face off against with different color schemes and gear and palettes and everything and taunts or whatever like that. So it's now able to handle that a little bit more smoothly than it did before. Not even just a little bit. It handles it a little bit more smoothly. Again, is it going to look like the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S? No. But damn, it actually looks really good now on the Switch. Hair textures, everything like that. Like, it looked... And notice, mind you, I dare say, you don't hear people talk about it much now. Now, a lot of it could be because people have stopped playing it, but it also could be that they see that it's improving and they don't want to bring it up because they already clowned it before and they don't want to admit that there's actually improvement to it. I'm one of these people right now that is going to say these guys have improved on the game. And just on the visuals alone, you guys should really be able to check it out. The palettes are able to handle pretty well. The new skins that are in there, it's all playing really well. Like, I've been playing Invasion for the first time ever, because I remember I stopped playing this game for a while. For the first time ever, I've gone and played the Invasion. I just played the Marlena Invasion chapter. I haven't played all of the other chapters. I missed out on it, but I actually played through the Marlena chapter completely and had no issue from start to finish playing that game. There was no crashes, no issues, no loading issues. Loading is much faster than before. The loading screen looks much better. It looks very similar to that of the PlayStation 5 version. Of course, it'll never have that loading speed, that instant loading speed as the PlayStation 5 because of the processor, the processing power and the RAM that the Nintendo Switch has. But the loading time is not that bad at all. It's basically a few seconds. You look up at the TV and then all of a sudden it's ready. It's really not a big deal. Rumble capabilities are really solid on this game as well. There's just so much improvement to this game that I appreciate now. In terms of the campaign mode and the story campaign mode, that is still being worked on, but that has improved greatly too. There have been times where you would see parts of the game where it just completely goes into a loading screen with the Mortal Kombat Dragon logo on here. And there was a lot of them from the beginning of the story to the end. You can see every time with every patch update that they have, they decrease that. They take that out and the loading for the story is faster. Now, the issue that I still see them having is the stuttering of the loading between the fighting and the actual CGI, cinematic scenes. That's still an issue that they gotta fix. And there are parts of it that they are fixing. Because I've learned this has happened before with Mortal Kombat 11, but they managed to finally fix that up. I said this before when I reviewed Mortal Kombat 1, is that this version of Mortal Kombat is a very ambitious game, especially when you get to the Armageddon section. But for their, to their credit, they have improved a lot on there, and they're still working on it. I don't know how long it's going to take before they fix the entire game, the entire completion of the game, where it just doesn't have that stuttering of story transitions. But so far, so good on that. Like, if you're just playing it off just for that, it's fine. Playing the tower mode as well. Playing the tower mode, it's way more fluid than before. Now, if you guys remember, if you played the Switch version, the tower mode did not have the face-off scenes that they had before. They now added the face-off scenes to it, so now it plays just like the new gen consoles now, in that sense. So they added that, and again, the graphics for this game has improved on that scale as well. So now that they've already added Peacemaker and Omni-Man and a few other DLCs to it, this game, the thing that this game always had was the resolution. The 60 frames per second has always been there, and it's always played really well. I think it plays even better than before. So I really appreciate it. So like I look back at my 2003 scoring chart here, where I gave Mortal Kombat for the PS5 at A-, but I did go on to say that the other one has a lower score. But I think this time around, we're going to make that change. I'll still say originality is 80 because it's all the same thing. Visual presentation, I would say 80 for this because, I would definitely say 80 because it's far and away better than what I thought it was, what it was before. I think it was like at least a 70% when I saw it before, curving to a 70. Now I think it's a solid 80. If I were to give that to, based on the PS5 and Xbox version, that's like visually is 100% awesome. In that comparison, sound and music was always great too. Gameplay. Speaking of which, shout out to Mega Ran, who I got to see over WrestleMania weekend as well. Of course, he has a song on here that he's a part of in the Mortal Kombat game. So sound and music has always been good. And they managed to sync. That's the audio syncing has improved better in this game too, when it comes to doing dialogue and voice syncing and all that stuff, much better than before. So that's been improved as well. Fun factor has always been the case. That's always been fun. But it's even more fun now that this game is more stable. Again, I've played nonstop on invasion mode, clearing the entire chapter, the Melina chapter, and I had no issues with it. So there's that situation. Replay value, obviously I've been playing for 130 hours straight on the Switch. That tells you that replay value is improved greatly in here. So that's it. The actor performances has also been great, so I had never had any problems with that. Story, same. So I think graphics is going to be the big thing with this. Visual is going to be the big thing. I think the visual has gotten much better to the point. And honestly, after all of that, I can definitely say, if you own it on a Switch, or if you have, or if you haven't, if you've been hesitant to own it on a Switch, and if it's on sale, now is the time to jump on this game. This game is greatly improved compared to what it was in the beginning process. And if you guys remember, that is, please go back. Even Melina's mouth wasn't even added to the thing. When she screamed, it was only like one mouth, one human mouth. Now she got the whole, predator style mouth, thing where it just separates and everything. Now that's been added. You can see it clearly as day now. There's so many obvious improvements in this game. You got to give NetherRealm credit for doing it. I knew that this was going to be eventually, and I believe I've said that in past episodes, that like eventually they will improve it. It sucks that they rushed this out to the point that they felt that they had to do it now. And I don't know if I completely blame NetherRealm Studios as much as I blame WB Games. WB Games is the publisher of this company, amongst other ones. I mean, Harry Potter, Cyberpunk 2077, We've seen patterns of them rushing games out and then waiting to later improve them just to get the money in, just to get that cash grab. So I think if NetherRealm was under their own, you know, had their own situation, they would be able to, they would probably do it a lot differently. I believe that Ed Boon would probably do it differently than what he would do it now. I don't think he would rush this version of the game to come out right now. But it's safe to say that Mortal Kombat on the Nintendo Switch is quite a significant improvement on what it was before. It's very playable and enjoyable, mind you. And we're expecting more. Ermac is coming. So I'm pretty sure with Ermac coming, there's going to be probably another patch update and improvement done for the Switch and other parts of the games too. So we expect to see another patch update improvement for that as well. I'm looking forward to it. Ermac looks awesome, by the way. I like the fact that they redesigned him from the other version that they had before in the story arc, but I'm looking forward to playing him as well. It's pretty dope. And so far, man, I'm digging it. So right now, I'm going to improve this grade because this game is a far cry from what it was before. And if I'm going to give it a grade, it's going to get a solid B for me. It's never going to be in an A situation, but right now it is a solid B for me. It's greatly improved from it before, and considering I gave it almost a D on a curve, mind you, this says a lot. And I'm looking at it, I'm playing it right now. It looks beautiful. It actually looks really beautiful on the Switch. Again, the lighting and shadow and textures and of the characters and the character of the character models and the costume designs and the frame rates of everything, it plays really well, and it's going to keep improving to this point. So now is the time to jump back, and I believe it's probably on sale. You can probably get it for a good sale price as well. In fact, let me look out for you. Let me see what it is too, because I already looked out for other games. So I'm on my Nintendo page already, so let's see how much it is. Ah, crap. Damn. My bad. No, actually, here's the deal. All right. You have until 9 days, but right now, this is a big deal. This is a big sell. If you haven't gotten on a Switch right now, the base game is $70 just for the base game. But if you get the premium edition of Mortal Kombat 1, the sale ends in 9 days from today. They got a 50% off sale on the Mortal Kombat Premium Edition. That includes Omni-Man, Peacemaker, Ermac, Homelander, and a bunch of other people as well. The price is half off. You only get it. It was $109.99. It is now $54.99. Now is the time to jump on. If you're going to get this game, get the premium. It's only $8. I mean, I think this is a great deal. Like I said, you're going to like this version now than you would when it first launched in September of last year. Far and away a better playable game at this time. Go jump on it right now before the sale ends, because otherwise you're going to be paying $109, or you're just going to pay $69.99 and $40 for the deal. So get this while you can. There's a reason why they're jumping on this, because they felt like they improved on this game enough to trust, to earn their trust. Go at it. I'm co-signing this. Go get this for this price. This is a great price right now. So, folks, that will do it for this edition of Talk Time Live Extra Select Start. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I'm glad to be back this Sunday. Fallout is going to be reviewed. It is out now on Prime Video. I have heard great things about this. All episodes are available, so I can give my entire critique on this thing right now. So that's going to be the review of this month. And I never played Fallout before, the actual game. This is one of those cases where, like, if I like the actual story of this game, maybe I'll want to jump on playing the game in here. But I heard the story is great. There's an awesome cast that is in this show. So right after this show, about to watch it, enjoy it. And by the way, we're also going to talk about X-Men 97 in full, because we talked about it a bit on All Elite Geekly with Boris. I don't think we talked about it enough. Oh my God. I will tell you why I think that was the greatest X-Men episode of all time. Okay. And I don't think there's going to be a lot of people agree because the internet is just going crazy. Social media is going crazy over the results of what happened in that episode too. Plus a little bit of a hidden gem that we got to talk about that we also got to discuss too. So, yeah, man, we're going to talk about that and much, much more. So folks, thank you very much again. I'm glad to be back. Hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you do enjoy this episode and every episode, and by the way, if you're new to this show, because I know there's going to be some new people that is coming in, from the Trick Williams and Mello deal and the other stuff. Welcome. Thank you. I hope you appreciate it. I appreciate you. And, you know, keep the support up, man. Keep it going and keep it growing for me. Check out all of our episodes and more on TalkTimeLive.com. All of our audio episodes like this one, easy to find. Our video exclusive interviews with people in the industry, your favorite actors who play in some really awesome anime shows, movies, whatnot. You know, from people from my community, TC Carson from Live a Single. We actually got an audio interview with him from a while back. Someday I may actually consider reaching out to him to see if I can get him back on video form. We'll see. We'll see. Love that dude. He was so awesome on the show, and he's the original voice of Kratos. So it was great to be able to do an interview in the early days of this show from him as well. But we got some really great video exclusives with people that you will well know and familiar with. You can go to my media page as well, where we got, you know, stuff like that as well. So, I mean, it's pretty dope. Go in and check it out. All on TalkTimeLive.com there. And if you are one of those people who, you know, like to listen to stuff on the road or in the office and while you're chilling and getting work done, you know, you can check us out. You can subscribe and download to wherever podcasts are played. And I'm including Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, TuneIn, Audible. We're there too. Pocket Casts, we're there. Like, we're pretty much almost virtually everywhere where podcasts are played. All you got to do is type in ACMG Presents Talk Time Live. It'll pop up soon. Boom. Hit it. Subscribe. You're there. So there you have it. Like I said, this Sunday is Fallout. We're going to talk about that and much, much more going on in the world of our favorite fandoms. And that'll do it for me, folks. This is Xavier Josiah saying learn to let go, live life, and love all things anime, comics, movies, and games. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live. I am out of here. Take care, and I'll talk to you guys very soon.
Music for this episode is provided by Game Chops. Check out these great chiptune tracks and more at music.gamechops.com.